Hey there, it's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Comedy Podcast. Tune in to our show and join me in making some regrettable decisions. It's available wherever you listen to podcasts.
I love how much we quote The Office on this show.
I was watching it yesterday. It's the one where Stanford links up with... like they get sold or whatever, not sold, but they move over to the regular one and they're trying to figure out who's from jail.
Oh, right. Yeah. That was prison. That's the Prison Mike episode.
Yeah, that's Prison Mike. Okay,
yeah, that's the Prison Mike.
You got a good life.
You got a good life. I didn't get caught either. So what are you in jail for? Oh, there's so many quotables in that one. We were talking about Daps and Daps gone bad and all of that during the commercial break. And I was telling Jesse, like, this, the people here, they're big into fist bumps. I'm not a big fan of that. I don't know why. And Chris asked, you give hugs, D-Lo. And I think I do. I'm more of like an embracer. Like, I'm more of a full on, hit the dap, do the pull in and keep it moving. Sometimes it's hit the dap, do the pull in. And you hit the full embrace once in a while, but yeah, like I'm more of a hugger. I don't the fist bump thing. Like,
really,
I mean, occasionally if it's the third time you saw the person the day, it's like, hey, what's up, bro? And then keep it moving. But
if I don't really know you, I think I do the fist bump. But okay. Like if I do like for friends and stuff, yeah, that's when you dab. But yeah, if I don't really know you, we're not the best of friends, probably fist bump.
Okay,
it's just more friendly and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think if I don't know you yet, it's like maybe more of the, that's funny. I swear Kyle and Mark just walked past each other and just did the fist bump. Like this.
If I don't know you, it's a head nod. That's all it is.
Oh,
no spoken words.
No, that's a shoot. Yeah, that's a shoot. I think I do for the people like I'm not like close with. It's more of just it's kind of just more of the dap part and keep it moving. When I know you, like the people I'm like Karosh. You guys, it's the full on embrace. Eddie Gonzalez going to join us coming up at 2:15. We'll talk everything going on or everything that's not going on in the NBA. Also, Adam Silver very tepidly talked about expansion, and I feel like we might have jumped the gun on that conversation. I'll explain why coming up. But before we get there, I want to put a little, kind of a little bow, so to speak, on the story that we talked about in-depthly for the first time earlier this week. We've tried to make you aware of this story going on with the NFL and the NFL Players Association over the course of the last couple of weeks. Of course, Pablo Torre and Mike Florio did a great podcast on Pablo Finds Out. About this 61-page arbitration ruling that we learned the NFLPA and the owners in the NFL agreed to keep quiet. And it is essentially, the ruling was that they actually decided there wasn't enough evidence to determine that the NFL owners colluded to keep guaranteed contracts down in the NFL. All of the evidence that was presented, as Mike Florio pointed out on the podcast, it was all circumstantial. It's pretty strong evidence, but again, it's circumstantial. And I'm not, Mike Florio is a lawyer. I'm not. So I know the burden of proof in like criminal court. I know the burden of proof in civil court. I have no clue what the burden of proof is in arbitration. And so if a bunch of circumstantial evidence was presented, it was, I guess it wasn't enough. However, that arbitrator did rule that Roger Goodell, now this was the funny part, couldn't determine whether the NFL owners colluded to keep guaranteed contracts down, but determined that Roger Goodell did. He, at the very least, advised teams to keep guaranteed contracts down. I'd like to remind those that don't know, Roger Goodell, God bless him, has no power. None. I'm going to stop short of saying he's useless because he's certainly not that. He represents the owners of the teams in the National Football League. That's his job, to act in their best interest. His title is the commissioner of the National Football League, when in reality, he should be the commissioner for the owners in the National Football League. Roger Goodell does not work on behalf of the players. He works with the NFL's Players Association and their executive director on behalf of the players. Funny thing happened along the way as this story was developing. The NFL Players Executive Director, who all of this controversy has surrounded, from his previous employment to the types of meetings that he's having to lawsuits that he's been a part of to his current employment, which is a direct conflict of interest to his job as the executive director of the NFL Players Association. You also got the fact that it seems that the Players Association can't determine whether he was hired in secret or not. Depending on who you talk to, the NFLPA will tell you, oh yeah, we vetted him and man, we grilled him about his previous background. And then other members of the Players Association will tell you, yeah, just one day this guy was there and they said he was going to be the executive director. And there are people who will legitimately say, I can't remember voting for him. Like, I can't remember if we voted for him, voted him against him. I don't remember when the vote was cast. He stepped down yesterday after what has now been 2 years. He stepped down. And this is a story that the NFL and the NFL Players Association so desperately want to go away because they all look terrible. The Players Association needs to be gutted. And for those who don't know how the Players Association works, we'll use the San Francisco 49ers, for example. The San Francisco 49ers elect a Players Association representative. That representative for the San Francisco 49ers goes to all of the meetings, take part in all of the Zooms, and it is that player's job to inform the other players on his team, in this case, the San Francisco 49ers, everything that is going on within the Players Association, everything that is on the table. It is that player's job to convey to his team whether this collective bargaining agreement proposal is good, whether this executive director candidate is any good. Now, there are far more the smaller things that a Players Association deals with throughout the course of a season, but these are the major things that a Players Association rep deals with throughout the season. So every team has a rep. Of those reps, there is a committee elected. There is a president. There is a vice president. There is a secretary. There's multiple vice presidents. There are all of those different things. That group elects an executive director. That's where things seem to get really sketchy with Lloyd Howe. Is the former Players Association president was a center for the Cleveland Browns, the team that signed Deshaun Watson to that infamous contract. He gets cut, which means he can't come back as the president of the Players Association. He seems to be the one who pushed for Lloyd Howe to be the executive director. Lloyd Howe gets, quote, elected as the executive director, and somehow this mysterious position of creative director that never existed before now exists and goes to the former Cleveland Browns center, who was the former president of the Players Association. Now that Lloyd Howe Jr. is gone, guess who's angling to be the president of the Players Association? If I am a player in the National Football League and I'm showing up to training camp in 4 days, the very first thing I'm doing is pulling my Players Association rep aside and saying, can you explain to me how the union that I elected to work for me colluded with the owners to keep my pay down? Very first question I'm asking. Don't ask me about my off-season routine. Don't ask me how my wife is doing. Don't ask me about kids. Don't tell me to go stretch. Don't tell me to go put on my pads. Don't tell me to go warm up. I need you to tell me how you determined that the commissioner of the NFL advised my boss to keep our salary down. And if I really want to flex, I'm gathering a couple other people who should be pissed off. And you know how many players in the National Football League should be pissed off about this? All of them. Because none of you hoes have guaranteed contracts. Deshaun Watson may be sitting with his feet up, not worried about a damn thing because he's constantly injured. And this whole trade has been a flop. A massive disaster. But every other player in the National Football League, oh, I've got questions. Roger Goodell is advising this league that makes $1 billion a second is advising my boss to keep my salary down. Adam Schefter didn't write about this until he was forced to. You think the NFL media is going to cover this? And when I say the NFL media, I'm talking about the actual NFL media. I'm talking about the NFL Network. I'm talking about Good Morning Football. You think they're going to cover this? No. That's state-run media. Of course they're not going to cover it. Adam Schefter, even though he works for ESPN, is essentially state-run media. They're all scared to death of this story because they don't want to piss off the wrong people. And those people are Jerry Jones, Robert Kraft, Stan Kroenke, Jed York, owner after owner after owner after governor after governor, whatever you want to call them. That's who they're scared to piss off. So Pablo's like, F it. I'm talking about it. Mike Florio doesn't give a damn. He's like, I'm talking about this. Mike Florio has been screaming for months. Why is no one talking about this? This is a massive scandal. And I don't know why I'm worked up about it. I truthfully don't know why I care. Because Roger Goodell's not keeping my salary down. So if Brock Purdy and Juwan Jennings, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Nick Bosa, TJ Watt, if those guys don't care, why the hell do I? And that's funny. See, that's that's funny. I think about TJ Watt. Now I think about the fact he got that massive contract yesterday. The richest average annual value for a non-quarterback in the history of the league. And I wonder if what these guys think is, I'm making $41 million. It's not a big deal. And this, my loved ones, who are so kind to spend some of their time listening to this show. This is why the NFL Players Association is the worst in professional sports. The difference between the haves and the have-nots is incredible. It is a Grand Canyon-like gulf. They've got the Mahomeses, and the essentially what you have is the quarterbacks. You have the quarterbacks. You have the really high-end defensive players. The Watts, the Bosas. Miles Garrett. You've got those guys. And then, you know, you start to sprinkle in numbers and positions and all the way down, all the way down, all the way down, until you get to the have-nots. And the have-nots far outweigh the haves in the NFL because the rosters are so big. The position groups are so different. But it's the haves who have the most powerful voices. And unfortunately, it's the haves who time after time after time have absolutely nothing to say. The fact that in 2020, this Players Association signed, what was it, a 10-year collective bargaining agreement that gave them zero control over anything moving forward, but allowed the owners the ability to increase the schedule by at least two games within that 10 years is absurd. Again, the players have nothing, no say, absolutely none. But the owners can go, you know what, we're going to switch to a 17-game schedule. And they did that. And at some point, probably very soon, it's going to be an 18-game schedule. What it does after that, I don't know. This league has got these guys playing on Thursdays, which, again, players union, not strong enough to push back against it. Players will complain nonstop about Thursday's game. But when they had the opportunity to do something about it, they weren't strong enough to do it. Why? Because their player reps came to them and said, you know, we've got a Thursday night football deal. So if we lose that Thursday night football deal, everybody's pay is going to be different. And you know who that swayed? Not Lamar, not Mahomes, not any of those guys at the top. It sways the have-nots, because the have-nots need that payday. The have-nots need that TV deal.
Just context to the last CBA in 2020, the difference in votes between players for and against was 60, and 500 players didn't vote.
500 players did not vote. And you wonder,
like I said, difference of 60 as well between the who were for and against.
You wonder why they're unaware that their Players Association and their commissioner are actively working against them. 500 players did not vote. The Players Association and the Players Union and all of this, it's almost identical to government. Think about what we just laid out. Again, we'll stick with the San Francisco 49ers as the example. They come together, they elect their player rep. Those guys never thinking about it again. To them, to most of them, clearly, to at minimum 500 of them, the players union, even though they're a part of it, all of the stuff that comes with it, the voting, the staying on top of it, the newsletters, the website, all of that stuff, that's a nuisance. That's not what they're here to do. They're here to play football. I want to hit somebody. I want to run. I want to catch. I want to score. I want to tackle. I want to sack the quarterback. That's what they're thinking about. So they elect these officials, and then they just leave it alone. And they don't think about it again. And it's going to take something to get them really riled up to pay attention. Think back to the Biden-Trump election. Everybody was all fired up because of the way Donald handled COVID and all of this. And now we're all fired up and we're going to go out there and vote and Biden gets elected. Then what happened? Well, we did it. And everybody goes back to not paying attention. Then the run-up to the next election. Well, we all saw it. We don't have to rehash that. That's the exact same thing that's going on in the NFL. That's not even fair. That's the exact same thing that goes on with players' associations in general, be it the NFL, the NBA, or Major League Baseball. I've told you about the little experience I've had watching a WNBA Players Association work from the inside. They were in the middle of a very contentious collective bargaining agreement. And there was someone on that executive committee that said, no, this is trash. We don't need to sign this. The president said, yes, we absolutely do need to sign this. The vice president said, no, we don't. And you know what they both immediately did? They both went and they hit the phones and they started calling players. They started calling player reps and they started calling agents. Agents started calling their players. That collective bargaining agreement that year, every star player that you can think of voted against it. And it passed with the narrowest of margins. And you know what happened during the next election cycle? The executive committee told that vice president, who spoke a little too loud, "Thank you, but your services are no longer required." We are watching the weakest players association sell out its players. We're watching the weakest union in professional sports sell out its union members right in front of our eyes. And the TJ Watts and the big money players don't care because they get $41 million anyways. But those guys fighting for roster spots when preseason gets underway here in a couple of weeks, they're the ones who wish there were more guaranteed contracts put out. The guys whose career lasts 4 years or 6 years versus, or 4 or 5 years, I should say, versus 8 or 10 years, those are the ones who are begging for guaranteed contracts. Those are the ones who at minimum are begging for more guaranteed money and can't get it. And now you know why. I thought for sure the Deshaun Watson deal deaded guaranteed money because it was such a bad deal. Because the trade and the salary from a desperate football team was so bad, no one was ever going to try it again. When in actuality, what happened was it was so bad and so polarizing that the owners got together and said, "Guys, we cannot do this." There are messages from owners expressing how furious they were that the Cleveland Browns offered a guaranteed contract. There's testimony from Russell Wilson in that 61-page document that says, I believe it was, what was his team before the Steelers? The Broncos. The Denver Broncos were prepared to offer him a guaranteed contract. He had been fighting for a guaranteed contract, and there was no resistance from the Denver Broncos whatsoever. They're having talks. League meetings take place. They come back from those talks. All of a sudden, the Denver Broncos, they don't want to have a guaranteed contract anymore. They start pushing back on that. They start utilizing incentives. There's documented evidence. I always joked that Mark Davis was going to be the one who blew the roof off of the Colin Kaepernick collusion thing by accidentally sending an email or a text like, "Hey, we're still keeping Cap out of the league," right? That was a joke. That's actual reality. Not in the case of Colin Kaepernick, but in the case of guaranteed contracts. And so one of the reasons this story, I'm so passionate about this story, one, because it's horrible for these football players, particularly the ones that don't get the TJ Watt contracts. But one of the reasons it's so satisfying is because so many people that I had to deal with on a day-to-day basis through my ability to talk on the radio told me how insane it would be. There were people who hosted sports shows in this market who would tell you how insane it would be for NFL owners to collude against something and how damaging to the sport it would be and how insane I am for thinking they're colluding to keep Colin Kaepernick out of the league. Colin Kaepernick is a marginal quarterback at best. Maybe he's not even marginal. He isn't even good. Fast forward 9 years. You think this is the first time the NFL owners colluded against something? Sweetie, This is just the first time we found out. What's the hot video on the internet right now? My man at the Coldplay concert. You think that was the first time he was out with his mistress?
No chance.
No, sweetie. It's the first time they got caught. So when someone says the NFL colluded to make Shedeur Sanders drop in the draft, and you're quick to dismiss it, when the story of Colin Kaepernick is written, and they say the owners colluded to keep him out of the league, and you're quick to dismiss it, remember this moment right here. Remember this arbitration ruling. Remember this executive director. And remember this players association and how they actively worked against their own players. We're going to lighten up the mood up. We're going to come back. We'll talk NBA stuff. We got Eddie Gonzalez joining us in about 45 minutes. I think my man Lee's going to come hang out with me. We'll talk some Kings basketball. We'll talk some NBA basketball. It's D-Lo and KC brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Hey, it's Ryan Green from the Commercial Break Comedy Podcast. We've been described as unscripted, unqualified, and unapologetic. And that came from my mother. See if you agree. The Commercial Break is available Tuesday through Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, man. My man Leezy in here with me. Leezy Friday.
Let's go.
Always good to have my guy in here.
Yes, sir. Let's get the vibes up. It's Friday. Just got paid. Weekend coming. Good times.
I'm going to need you to tone it down a little bit, man.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Some of us are tired.
Oh,
I'm just kidding, man.
Hey, D-Lo, you've been holding it down this week.
Oh, man, I'm trying to. I can't lie. I hope Kenny has the most miserable week of his life next week.
It's going to be Casey and friends. He's going to have Sarah Hodges.
I'm sure.
Dusty's going to come in. Everybody going to be here.
Actually, you mentioned Dusty.
That's right.
Yeah. Hey, stick around. I just got a text about Dusty.
Okay.
Stick around. Y'all might want to... Y'all won't want to miss this. We'll have it, not yet, but we'll talk about it here in the next 45 minutes or so. But yeah, you mentioned Dusty Baker. I got a little something to talk about with Dusty.
I haven't got to try the wine yet. I got to see what the talk's about. I know it's good.
Well, as you can see, these are sealed bottles behind me. Those need to remain sealed for now. But I know Baker Family Wine is getting us a batch that we can. Casey don't even know these here. I might take one home this weekend.
Why not? Complimentary.
I might take one home.
I think you earned it for vacation time, you know? Relax, open a bottle.
I think I did, man. We're just trying to hang out, chill out. We got the Kings potentially winning a summer league title coming up here in the next couple of days. Of course, they'll play in the semifinals against the Toronto Raptors tomorrow. Where are you at? You're not a Kings fan,
man.
But you are.
I'm a Kings supporter. There we go.
You're a Kings supporter. You're normally pretty neutral. When it comes to like evaluating the Kings and and not get excited.
I'm not TC right now.
You're not TC. TC. If TC see a window, he gonna jump out of it.
He's jumping every time.
What do you think so far about Neek and Max and what we've seen in summer league?
I've been excited. I've been enjoying the games. As I mentioned, going into summer league, I was really interested to see Neek. But now that the games have started and things are going, I've become more of a Max guy. I really like his game. I think he could really open up things. It's been great seeing him so far. Overall, a lot of the Kings' moves I'm enjoying. Dennis Schroeder. He's a solid point guard. Happy to see him on the team. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys remember this back during the trade deadline. I kind of talked about it. I was like, man, why don't they just get Dennis Schroeder? You need a point guard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of in the same boat as you, D-Lo. I'm tired of us trying to make players play out of their position. Don't try to make this guy a point guard. Don't try to make this guy a defender. Go get a point guard. Go get a defender, you know? Mm-hmm. So far, you know, just being neutral. I'm liking what I'm seeing so far. I'm not jumping out the window, but the Kings making some solid moves so far.
One of the reasons I think this summer league is pretty dope, or one of the reasons I think a summer league title would be pretty dope. One, winning is always cool, no matter how you know, big or small the overall achievement is. Like, winning is cool. Like, Kings winning summer league would be dope. But I think what really is resonating with Kings fans right now is the fact that, you know, you're playing in the semifinals. You could potentially win the summer league, but you've you're doing it on the strength of a couple of draft picks that you really like. And one thing that I think is really impressive was we talk about, you know, we love to grade general managers. You know, Scott's probably a couple weeks away from hitting his first 100 days as the general manager.
He's at like 70-something right now.
Yeah, so if you do, you know, the president always has their first 100-day evaluation. Yeah. Like when we evaluate Scott Perry at the 100-day mark of him having this job, the Sacramento Kings didn't have a first-round draft pick.
He got in
and landed a player that right now is performing really well. And then at 42, able to land a guy who, if he can get comfortable pretty quickly, will probably have a rotational spot.
As a
second-round pick, right away. And so I think having a summer league title on the strength of that is pretty dope. And I think looking back when you evaluate Scott Perry's first 100 days, having those couple achievements in his first 100 days is pretty dope as well also.
Yeah, as you mentioned, going into the draft, we didn't have a first-round pick. And so for him to move up and get Neek is great. And Neek is succeeding right now overall. I still don't know what position he's going to end up playing at the end of the day, but he can do a little bit of everything. You'll see him get his boards, get his assists and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think as a backup three, he could – He has immediate minutes behind Zach LaVine.
Yeah, we definitely need that.
Yeah, and he also feels versatile. I mean, I know the point guard thing. James says he wants to see, Neek run at the point guard maybe the next couple of days or next couple of games or at least next game, and we'll see if there's one after
Mason
that.
Mason Jones isn't playing, right?
No.
Okay, there
no,
you
he's
go.
Not.
There
yeah,
you go.
So it's I said that too definitively. Oh. Probably not. Yes. He's probably not playing tomorrow.
Okay.
But yeah, there's probably a couple of different roles he could have. But I think if you really zero in on him being a backup three, maybe occasionally playing at the two spot, I can't imagine why that would be needed with this group. But if for whatever reason it could be, I just there seems to be a lot that Neek Clifford could do.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely versatile. I definitely would like to see him run the backup point than Ben Simmons. I heard you guys talking about that earlier. I was like,
You, I believe, are a longtime Ben Simmons hater.
I'm not. No, come on. When did I get this rep, Jesse? When did I get this rep of being a Ben Simmons hater?
What you just said sounded like hate.
Oh well, okay.
But I don't think you've ever spoke. You don't like Ben Simmons, do you?
I don't like his personality.
You did drop a what's his name right now. That's kind of
hate. Kind of little shade.
No shade at Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons used to be an all-star caliber player. He had a lot of potential. Obviously, after that Hawks series, things went south for him. But just like his overall demeanor and attitude, hey, one thing Scott Perry's been talking about is he wants volunteers, not hostages. I think if we get Ben Simmons here, he's more on the hostage side.
How so? If he signs here,
yeah,
I don't think that's a hostage. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
I think I'm the only media member who hasn't spoken to Scott Perry, but
yeah,
I think he's referring to the people currently on the team.
Yeah.
If you don't want to be here, say the word.
Yeah.
Also, you say the word. There might not be anything I could do about it, so your ass need to get over
you
it.
If you guys had your choice right now, is the backup point guard on the roster right now currently for the Kings?
Nope.
No.
Go Neek Clifford to start the season, Leezy?
Absolutely.
No.
Okay.
We don't want to put too much pressure on Neek. That's the problem we always have, man. He's going to be – there's expectations going to be very high. So, no, I don't want to put him in that situation yet.
Are we all in agreement then they need to bring someone in?
Yes.
You think that too?
I said, I'm asking if we're all in agreement.
Oh, that's how I feel.
Yeah, because if it's Devin or
it's not Devin.
No.
That's the thing. If it's Devin or a free agent, then I go free agent.
D-Lo, I'd rather see your boy Westbrook. I'd rather see – I've come around. Let's see Westbrook do his thing. He wasn't that bad in Denver.
He wasn't that bad. He was really good in Denver.
And some
he
wasn't of the big great games in the playoffs. Yeah.
But when I think it was Gordon went out, he stepped in into that starting role and was really, really good. Yeah. And then when Gordon came back, he seamlessly kind of moved to that six-man role. And then they just weren't strong enough in the playoffs. And, Russ kind of has on games, off games, on games, off games. And when that happens in the playoffs, you lose those off games,
yeah,
and then the series ends.
Yeah, the room for error is a lot smaller than those playoff games. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, he was definitely a spark off the bench for them, and I think he still has some gas in the tank. I think he still contributes to a team, especially with so much talent on the Kings. I understand some of the players have some flaws, but I think Westbrook can still get a lot out of them, you know? Just having a real point guard to set up the offense, get everyone organized, as we like to say, is yeah, good.
The organizer.
We really ran with that.
And that's why I like the idea of Dennis Schroeder. I meant to ask him this earlier because I think Ham said today, he was like, yeah, the Kings have two, right now, their two point guards are score first point guards. Mm. And I was like, is he talking about Dennis and Malik? Because I've never looked at Dennis Schroeder as a score first point guard. Yeah. I've never looked at him
like that. He can score first, but I don't see him.
Well, I think he can score.
Yeah.
But I also think he's a really good point guard. Again, I always say, like, Dennis might not do everything at a real high level. He might not do one specific thing at an elite level, but when you talk about scoring, facilitating, defense, he does all of those things well.
Yeah. Remember at the start of last season, he was doing pretty good with the Brooklyn Nets. They had to slow that down. They were winning too much. You're like, hey, this is not what we try to do. Yeah.
Brooklyn's like, we are not here for this.
You got to go.
Yeah. Then he spent some time with – was the Warriors season last year?
Yeah, he was with the Warriors, but it didn't really work out there. And then at the deadline, that's when he went to the Pistons. Because he played pretty good in the playoffs. He had his moments. But, yeah, that's when he went to
the Pistons. He played really well with the Pistons in the regular season.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, the Pistons were always going to kind of hit they were going to kind of hit that spot where they probably can't go any further.
Yeah.
We're going to put that on Dennis Schroeder. But I love the fact that he's in Sacramento. I think finding a point guard a little bit closer to him rather than trying to force Nick Clifford or Devin Carter into this, I think that's not the move. Devin Carter, I don't want to see play anywhere near the point guard position.
No. But yeah, no, I like the acquisition of Schroeder. I still want to see Perry do some more. I still don't know what his big picture is. I know he talks a lot about, like, hey, we want defensive-minded players. Still, I'm not seeing a lot of them, but the rookies are good. But
well, clearly, you use the volunteers hostages line. You've been listening to Scott Perry talk recently.
Oh yeah,
and
listen
we'll
to Sean Cunningham.
We'll talk to Sean Cunningham at 3:15 about his conversation with Scott Perry. I'm going to start referring to Sean Cunningham as the godfather of sports media here in Sacramento.
He is. He's everywhere.
He is.
People think I work a lot. Sean be outworking me. He is at every event. He'll give me interviews for our Instagram page. Go ahead and like those clips.
You definitely do.
Sean's the man.
He is. And but one thing, particularly in that conversation with Sean Cunningham, that Scott was pretty clear about is it's going to take time to build this team the way I want. It's going to take time to execute my vision. And I think Sean asked him, what does this team need? Mm-hmm. And he said, this team needs time together.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, Zach LaVine did get here at the trade deadline. DeMar DeRozan only been here a year. A lot of the guys from the Beam team aren't here anymore. So, yeah, this team hasn't had time to gel, and they have not had the facilitator to bring it all together either.
We'll come back. We're going to talk more about Kings basketball. We got Eddie Gonzalez coming up at 2:15. Leezy's hanging out with me. We'll talk some other NBA subjects as well when Dylan and Casey continue here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break. And best to you.
We were just talking about how Leezy was a little starstruck when we went to see Tinashe at Ace of Spades for some stuff for KSFM and 106.5.
Oh, yeah.
And you just said Alicia Keys before we got back from a commercial break. Alicia Keys is the only person who I ever got starstruck with.
It happens.
Yeah, Alicia, I stopped speaking.
Didn't you have an interview with Rihanna? Didn't that go a certain way?
No, the Rihanna interview was always funny. This is when SOS was out.
So she popping.
It's early Rihanna. Mm-hmm. And she's gorgeous.
Of course, yeah.
She's beautiful. She's very sweet. But like she had come into the old KSFM studio at the How About Arden building. And so we had a lobby. And you walk through the lobby right out like... You walk through the front door of the KSFM building, the KSFM suite, and immediately to the left and right, like, I mean, immediate, like you don't, it's right next to it, are the bathrooms. And so she asked, like, hey, before we come back, can I go to the bathrooms? Like, yeah. So I take her out to the lobby and I say, it's right here when you're ready. Our receptionist is on alert. You had to be let into the studio. Our receptionist is on alert. They'll let you in. Okay. So she's like, okay, great. Thank you. So I go back inside and like a couple songs play. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, they're like the record people, they're talking to the program director. No one's really paying attention except for me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Rihanna hasn't come back yet.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right. Like, I can't like go check on her, but I'm going to like walk outside the lobby.
Okay, head out the door.
I walk outside the suite. And so remember, the bathrooms are right next to the door. Past both doors are long hallways.
Oh, no.
This sweet child
yeah.
is at the end of the hallway, walking around going, oh, I got lost.
Yeah.
I was like, Ree, it was the door next to the bathroom.
Yeah.
There now, there's no other doors. There's one door. It's directly next to the bathroom. And she just went the other way down the long ass hallway. Then there was the time she was performing at Cinco de Mayo.
Oh.
And this is Take a Bow era. So she's not an icon yet.
Yeah.
But she is a major star.
Yeah.
So she's performing at Discovery Park. You know, Discovery Park is one way in and one way out.
Oh, I do.
So if you have, yes, you're very familiar.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So if you have to leave, even if you're with the show, even if you have an escort, no matter what, it is brutal. Ree's there. She says she needs tea and honey before she goes on stage. None of the other sweet Nick Cannon was there. Sir Mix-a-Lot with it. There's no tea and honey in anyone's trailer.
No.
We have to send someone out to get it, but it's her time to be on stage. I'm on stage. I'm not knowing anything is going on. And I'm getting ready to introduce Rihanna, and the stage manager comes over to me and goes, hey, not yet. She's not ready. Yeah. I'll give you the cue. I was like, okay, I'm just going to keep my eye on you. Just let me know.
Yeah.
So I'm up there. I got DJ Charlie Ramos up there with me. God rest his soul. And, you know, there's a legit 12, 13, 14,000 people out there. Hot as hell.
They waiting.
And by hot as hell, you're standing in the middle of Discovery Park. It's probably 79, 80 degrees. But it's hot.
Yeah.
So we're doing our thing. We got music playing. We're singing along. Everyone's hyped. I look over. Stage manager shakes his head. No problem. Mm-hmm. Keep going. Keep going. We're doing our thing. I looked over. Stage manager goes, nope.
Nope.
I'm like, okay. By now, 15 minutes have passed. Give him the look, and he just kind of shrugs his shoulders. He's like, not yet. 30 minutes later.
Oh.
30 minutes after the 10 minutes we were supposed to kill. So a total of 40 minutes later.
Yeah, you waiting for a minute. Long minute.
He kind of walks behind me, taps and goes, okay, we can go. So I do the introduction, bring her out. Everybody goes crazy. I walk down the stairs and I look at my program director and he goes, she wanted tea and honey, man.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
I was just like, well, all right.
That's how it is. See, that's the job me and Joe would do. We have to go run and get that tea and honey. We have to go find it.
The killer part is when she did Take a Bow, which was the big single at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it was, it's not Take a Bow. It's the song, I think the song's called Unfaithful. She lip synced it.
Oh.
I was so mad at her. Oh, I was furious.
Hey, I bet that's still better than Mary J. Blige.
I've had three. Oh, it was way better.
Yeah.
I've had three interactions with Rihanna, though. All of them have been wonderful.
Now, see, you gotta bring this back up when Sean gets here. That's his thing.
Oh, that's his, yeah. Yeah. That's his, oh, yeah. Yeah. I told the story too early.
That's my fault. I set you up. That's
a good point. That's a good point.
That's what
I mean. I don't know what it was about Alicia. I know what it was. She touched my hand.
Oh.
Like, she laughed at something I said, and she put her hand on mine, and I just froze.
Oh, yeah.
I was just like, I don't know what to do right now. Me and Alicia are getting married.
Oh.
That's just the way it's going to be.
That's it. It's set in stone. I don't blame you. Alicia Keys, man, back in the day, used to be a big Alicia Keys fan, so I feel it.
We were talking about Dennis Schroeder before the commercial break, and my man Sammy, who I don't think Sammy has had a single positive thing to say this week, says, come on, guys, don't try to sell us on Dennis Schroeder. He's a journeyman. I'm not trying to sell you on anything, Sammy. I think Dennis is a good ball player. I thought he was a good ball player well before he played for Sacramento or well before he signed with Sacramento. I think he's a good ball player today. You don't have to like him. You don't have to think he's good, and you can feel like he's a journeyman. That's no problem.
Yeah.
I think part of the reason he's been a journeyman, I think the biggest reason is the fact that he turned down that deal with the Lakers, which was a terrible financial decision.
That haunts him to this day.
But it also leads to kind of year-to-year deals, and when you're on year-to-year deals, you are easily expendable if that season isn't going exactly the way the team envisioned. And we saw that happening last year with Brooklyn, who had no aspirations to do anything. They moved him to Golden State. That wasn't really a good fit there, or I might have the order of that wrong. And then he winds up in Detroit, and things kind of go well for him there. But it's Sammy is cool. I just think Dennis is a good ball player. You don't have to like him.
He's a good veteran, experienced point guard. Isn't that somebody you want setting up your offense?
And that's the thing. Like, I think he does a multitude of things well.
Yeah.
He's not like this super, like De'Aaron De'Aaron, in my opinion, is a very high level scorer.
Yeah.
His speed is elite.
Yeah.
Dennis doesn't have an elite characteristic.
Yeah.
He's just good. Sometimes you just need good ball players. The reason he's been on so many teams is because he's good. The reason he's had a spot in the league for the last 10 years is because he's good. Mm-hmm. We talked about Jrue Holiday the other day. The trade from Boston is going to start a chain of events for Jrue, mm-hmm. where I think he's going to wind up being on three or four different teams, you know, through the rest of his career.
And wasn't that a whole thing? Wasn't it they wanted him to be a good locker room veteran to the younger players in Portland?
In Portland,
and he, weren't reports he didn't want to be there at first? Like, because I thought he was going to be on the move to another team.
So I don't know that there were reports that Jrue didn't want to be there, because I know a little bit about Jrue Holiday. That's not really his thing. Like,
he doesn't seem like that type of person.
I think there was questions whether Portland was going to keep Jrue Holiday.
Yeah.
And in the immediate aftermath of the trade, it was like, okay, what exactly are they doing? Are they just going to move Jrue Holiday again like they did last time?
Yep.
And ultimately, I think we've learned now, that's not the plan. Like, it is to keep him around with some of those young guys, and then we'll see what happens when Dame Lillard returns.
Do you think he's like a trade deadline guy? Like, he sticks with their showcase?
No,
he still has a lot in the tank. And
I think it might depend on how Portland's season is going. Yep. But yeah, that was my point. Like, I think Jrue's going to be traded a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, because someone's always going to want him.
And he fits on any team.
And if a contender's like, man, we need a player like Jrue, they're going to go do it. And then if they're not championship good like they expected, they're going to trade him.
You can flip him.
And that goes back to the day the whole deal was done when I got I feel bad for him.
Yeah.
He's a great dude. He's a loyal dude. He will play anywhere that he's traded, and he's probably going to be traded a lot through the rest of his career.
Yeah. No, he's a great player. Hey, what's going on with Anthony Simons? Is he still – what's up with that, Jesse? Mr. Boston?
He's still with Boston, but
yeah, he's still with Boston, but could
he was
be
being shocked. Yeah, I thought he was being shocked.
Yeah, I mean, it seems maybe take a gap year and then get ready when Tatum's back, maybe. See if you get a pick or two for Simons. Not two, but see what you can get for Simons, I guess.
I wonder what you could get for him if Boston decided to move off of him either before the season starts or in February. I wonder what that market looks like. Especially, and I think all of this looks a little bit different. All of these deals that were done kind of quickly, all of these trades that were done kind of quickly when we were asking questions about, hey, what's happening with Jrue? What's happening with Anthony? All of it. This was all before the market took shape.
Yeah. Remember, this is supposed to be the biggest free agency thing.
Yeah.
Remember Shams hyping it up?
Yeah. The biggest thing we got was the Dame Lillard wave.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
No, I saw that.
You know, him going back to Portland is like a cool little footnote, but no one knew that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Shams might have gotten tipped off to, you know, that being on the way. And then I'm sure he got tipped off to Rich Paul not being happy with what was going on with the Los Angeles Lakers. But that's ultimately led to nothing. It's not a story. It's nothing. Like, I mean, it's something we're watching. It's something we're monitoring. It's something to pay attention to. But right now, it's just chatter.
Yeah. I still don't get the whole Lakers thing. I understand LeBron's mad about everything going on off the court, but I still think the Lakers roster is pretty good. I remember we were talking to Casey about this, of course, and he was saying, my bad. He's saying they're not a championship team and that's all that matters. I'm like, bro, you're playing with Luka. You have DeAndre Ayton, who is a pretty good pickup. I understand the flaws in his game, but still, I mean, you addressed a need there. So, and you still have good shooters with Austin Reeves and Connect if they ever play him.
Yeah, I mean, that's a Lakers team that was a three seed and
they had a bad matchup. Yeah.
They were a three seed with no center and the biggest you could possibly have mid-season trade.
Yeah.
And so I wonder with, you know, I think there's a similar conversation to be had with the Los Angeles Lakers and with the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors, they have three distinctively different seasons last year.
Oh, yes.
They had the start of the season. They had that middle that was a disaster that legit looked like that Warriors franchise was dead.
Yeah, they were done.
And then they pulled off the Jimmy Butler deal, which revived them in a way that I didn't expect.
Mm-hmm.
When they traded for Jimmy Butler, especially they traded for him and then announced the contract extension,
yeah.
I kind of hit him with the, all right.
Yeah, he got paid. Remember, he wanted to go to Phoenix, and then Warriors ended up paying him, and it's like, yep, he paid a hefty price for him.
Yeah, and it paid off.
Yeah.
Like, they looked great. Didn't have the postseason that they wanted, because this is about winning championships.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they looked really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were, different stretches for the Los Angeles Lakers. Big influx of energy and all of this when the trade was done, even before Luka first stepped on the floor. They start playing really well, and then the things kind of leveled out. I don't think they ever played bad with Luka Doncic there, but they just kind of leveled out. It wasn't as strong as what Golden State did in the immediate
because they were going big Butler winning deal. Streaks. Yeah,
yeah.
Hey there, it's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Comedy Podcast. Tune into our show and join me in making some regrettable decisions. It's available wherever you listen to podcasts.